took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, greetings. This is Pastor Dave with Glorious Day. And Pastor Barry could not be with me today for scheduling conflict issues. And I wanted to have one fresh program to go into the system for tomorrow, April the 2nd. And so I know we've done a couple of programs from previous years because we both have had scheduling conflicts. So we'll be coming back together and recording the next three programs sometime this coming week. But I had something God put on my heart, and I really felt like it needed to be shared with you freshly. I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Very common, a very familiar verse to everybody. But the theme for this program is hope. And if there is any day when we need to have access to real hope, it's these days, it's today. Not just in America, but all over the world. There's a great spiritual darkness that is pressing in on us here, certainly, and elsewhere. And I will say this, I know I'm reaching this, our program reaches both those who believe, those who have are born again in Jesus Christ, and those who have yet to really invite Jesus into their hearts. You may have him in your heads. And I'm not being critical of you. I'm just saying that there is a great difference in how we perceive life when we have Jesus as opposed to when we do not have him in our hearts. Because when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, he does come into your life. He embraces your life fully. He brings in all of his grace for healing and restoration, for salvation. Certainly the ultimate need we have of Jesus is that he died on the cross for our sins. He was the offering, the blood offering for all the sins of humanity, and that certainly includes yours and mine and any other human being who will be born on the earth until he comes again. And so at the beginning of this program, before I even read the scripture, I pray if you are not a believer, you may go to church, and that's a great thing. And that's a beginning, because in church you can hopefully hear the gospel and what it means to you as a person, not just for now, critical as that is, but also for your eternal life. You have an eternal life. That's been guaranteed. You were born with the opportunity to live eternally in one of two places, one of two spiritual realms. One is heaven, and that's where I pray you want to be after you die and your spirit leaves your body. I pray you want to be in heaven. But wanting to be alone is not sufficient, because Spirit says, Jesus says, that the only way to the Father is through him. The only way to receive salvation, the gift of salvation and eternal life in heaven, is through him, and that means inviting him to be your Lord and Savior. Being a concept in your mind alone is not enough, and Jesus makes that clear. And that's in the Word of God, of course, in the throughout the New Testament, and the saving God of the Old Testament is clearly there as well. And Jesus, who is God, has always been a part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we can see, even in the Old Testament, the saving grace of God, which was then in the coming of Christ, clarified in the Messiah that the Jewish people had looked forward to for centuries. Unfortunately, when he was alive, they missed him because, again, God was not in their hearts, just in their minds. And I will say, as a postscript, that when Jesus is only in your mind, there's great room for confusion. And then in that place in your mind where everybody has an opinion, you know, and nobody agrees, or some people agree with other people, but not with some. And it's not about us having a, you know, a majority opinion on who Jesus is. It's about knowing him personally, and that personal relationship is available to you when you invite Jesus into your heart. So, Romans 5, 1 through 5, and I'm reading now from the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Hear these words. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. And that's certainly the word of God. In these five verses, there's great power. There's huge truth. And in fact, in these five verses is a distillation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the effect that having Christ in your heart has on your personal life. That Paul begins with justification and faith, and that is a root, really foundational theological statement about who Jesus is and what he was all about. Justification by faith, not through works, and certainly not through any concepts you might generate in your mind about Jesus. And so when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he stands ready, by the way, I need to say this again to those who do not know him, who may think you're a Christian because you go to church, but if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're simply a person going to church, and forgive me, I know this is probably going to anger some of you, covered by a thin veneer of Christianity, but beneath that thin veneer is still a life that needs to be saved. And I pray that you will hear this with conviction, not with condemnation. For condemnation comes from the devil, conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. And it is always the work of the Spirit to call those who do not know Jesus to him, to come, as we often say here, to come to the foot of the cross, to kneel before your Lord and Savior and confess your sins, invite him to come in, and he'll do it. He will do it. He did it for me, did it for Pastor Barry. He's done it for so many people that do believe, and he will do it for you. Justification. And because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is critical, because until we have Jesus in our hearts, there is a constant level of unrest in our spirits, because our sins have not been forgiven. We have not confessed them before God. We may have talked about them with other people. We may have even gone through what some may call a session of confession. And they say confession is good for the soul, and that's true. There's an unburdening that happens. But if we're simply going through the process, if it's a dry activity, if it's a rote process where we don't perceive that God is really going to do anything with our sins, if we're really not even sorry for them, but feel that by some kind of rote profession of sins that we get forgiveness, then we have not gotten the truth of the relationship that God wants to have with us in Christ. That our confession, when Jesus is in our hearts, he receives that confession of faith, and that confession of our sin, because then we are being convicted by the Holy Spirit, and we are honest and believing that God not only hears that confession from our hearts, but is ready to receive those sins. And as Scripture tells us, those sins are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, which is a great metaphor for the fact that God puts those sins not just behind us, but behind Him, and He remembers them no more. Now, we have an earthly memory, and the devil has a way of reminding us of our sins, even those that have been forgiven by God. We have to be careful not to ask God to forgive us again for something He's already forgiven us. But we have peace with God, and it's this peace that is everlasting that Scripture says, a peace that passes all understanding. Now, this is critical. This is a bedrock, a foundational peace that is a gift of God. We can't generate it. We can't imagine it. We can ask for it. And God is certainly wonderful to be a giver of peace to us. So when we have Jesus in our hearts and we are living a confessional life where we repent, we're willing to repent and say, God, I know I've got you in my heart and I know you're transforming my life, but I'm still a sinner. I sinned today for this particular sin and I ask your forgiveness. He will forgive you from your heart. And this is a powerful thing. The devil always lies to us about that. But God is always truthful. That He, because He says, if you're honest, if you forgive, if you come to Him and ask you for forgiveness, and you are truly repentant, He will forgive you. That sin is no longer going to be written in the book of your life. And Jesus, at the end of time, when He stands with you before the living God at the time of judgment, all of your sins, Jesus is going to say, I paid the price, Father. And at the end of that long list, Father's going to say, I forgive you. You are acquitted. Welcome to my kingdom. And personally, I think, in spite of all what we read about in the Word, I'll still be amazed. I'll be joyful, but I'll still be amazed. So we have that peace, and this is important to talk about hope, because through Jesus, and only again through Jesus, Paul says, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, the grace that provides the peace that we need to live our daily lives, a peace that is durable, because it is of God, and nothing of the world can destroy it or frazzle it or diminish it, because it is from God. Yes, we can turn away from that peace in our sin, but we can also turn back and have it again. And then Paul goes on to say, and again, because of this grace, because of the peace, we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Now, at the end of the day, whatever hope we perceive, and believe me, God's hope is also durable. We desperately need His hope because of life's challenges, because of the sufferings that we encounter daily. And that word suffering is going to pop up again here, as you may remember, in the rest of this scripture. We share in the glory of God when we receive Jesus. Up until then, again, it's only a concept. Like, I think about Jesus all the time. I think He's this and I think He's that. And often, if we're just with our thoughts, we're wrong. But when Jesus is in our heart, His whole person, because He does come into our lives, keeps us focused on who He really is. And there we have our excitement and faith. There we have the great peace that comes because we have God, Jesus, God, in our spirit, right there. And with that, then, the hope of glory, to share the glory of God in the kingdom, our final resting place, our home. We are made to be citizens of the kingdom. I have a passport from the United States of America with my picture on it, my birth date, and all this data. And that's great, and I'm very happy to be an American and have a passport that says I'm a citizen and I can travel. But ultimately, the ultimate travel is to the kingdom of God. I am now, because of Jesus, And you are too, if you have him in your heart, a citizen of the kingdom. It's very important because we get the benefits of citizenship. And there's a lot of them. So Paul goes on in verse 3, he says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Now, this is where it gets a little counterintuitive, right? Because I don't get up in the beginning of the day and on my calendar write, suffer today. And frankly, if you don't do that either, that's good. If you do that, I'd have cause for concern. Because this is not something that we really enjoy, suffering. We avoid it at all costs. If you look at most of the advertising on TV, is to avoid the suffering of pains and distress, and there's all like medications and stuff to avoid all kinds of suffering from disease and injury. And I'm not saying that's wrong. You know, I believe in, if God leads you to a doctor and that doctor prescribes a medication and you are right in your heart with that, then that's what's going to bless you. And other times God's going to heal you directly, and he's done both ways for me in terms of suffering. And he's done it for you too. So we rejoice in our suffering. Why do we rejoice? You know, Paul writes, give thanks to God in all things, Philippians. Give thanks to God in all circumstances. Suffering is a circumstance of our life. In fact, it's fairly predictable. And so we give thanks, we rejoice in our sufferings. Why? And Paul has this wonderful progression of revelation about that. He says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Now listen, we're going to suffer anyway, whether you know Jesus or not. It's just a fact of life. You're going to drop something on your toe. You might have a car accident and have some injuries. You're going to get sick. You're going to get a cold, hopefully not COVID, or maybe worse things, God forbid. But if that happens, that's going to bring suffering, physical, emotional, spiritual. It's all together. You know, physical pain will often lead to spiritual and emotional suffering. So they're all together. And so that this life is going to have that. So first of all, you know, I think subliminally here, Paul is saying to his readers, since you're going to suffer, why not suffer in Christ? Why not have Jesus in your heart? And then he will take you through this suffering with joy, right? Because suffering produces endurance. It's actually a fruit to suffering, and it's not bitter. The Holy Spirit will empower you through suffering to endure. And every time we go through a period of suffering and we learn or we receive the grace of endurance, that means we get stronger against other suffering down the road. Stronger physically, yes, when it's physical suffering. Stronger emotionally. Stronger spiritually, ultimately, because we learn, our faith grows. Our faith gets stronger. And we learn even more to trust God that we can endure. Because we don't endure alone. Jesus is there. And it is his grace that is enabling us to endure. But endurance is not the end of the production of fruit of suffering. For endurance produces character. How important is character? Martin County, here where we live, the phrase is character counts. And Lord, you know it does. You know, good character not only enables a person to do good things and to do them well, but people are attracted to people of good character. They really are. And when a Christian person is expressing this character, which has been forged in the furnace of suffering, then when people are drawn to them, they're really being drawn to Jesus. You might think of this, and I think it's rightfully so, a form of evangelism, personal, of witness without saying anything, by being a child of God, by being one who has Jesus. Through your sufferings and the endurance that you've been given, you have character, and that character ever getting stronger, ever more revealing the person of Jesus Christ to those around you as you are led into deeper and deeper expressions of ministry. But what does character produce? What is the fruit of all the character? Well, character produces hope. And then Paul says, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Now, all of what I've said thus far and all of what the scriptures have unfolded is really important, because we have to speak about the day we're living in. You know, this is the day we're living in. And we've lived through other days like this, but this is the day. We are living in this day. I'm drawing breath right now, talking about this day to you. You're drawing breath, listening that there is great darkness in the world. We know, and I'm going to speak about America because that's where we live. Great darkness in America. Doesn't mean God has been conquered. Don't hear that. The enemy would love to tell you that God's way is gone. The way of the world is coming. It's upon you. It's encroaching. Fear. You know, that's what the enemy says. Be afraid, because I'm coming. I have the power. And we look around and we see lawmakers in Washington and in other places who are not believers, who are definitely working for the other side, working for the devil, passing laws that are going to make it okay for you to sin. Even laws that will, if you don't conform to the law, you will be arrested for not sinning. Now, it sounds like an exaggeration, but look at other countries. Look, for instance, at Canada. They're arresting pastors for preaching the gospel because there are laws that say you can't tell what we call the truth because it offends people, and we're going to arrest you and put you in jail. Now, that's happening. If you haven't read the news, check it out. It's happening in the UK, the United Kingdom, Great Britain. Same kind of attitude. Pastors. And a lady was arrested for quietly, silently praying near an abortion clinic. She wasn't saying anything. She had no signs. She was right there, and someone came up to her and asked her if she was praying. She said yes. They called the police. They arrested her. I think they eventually dismissed the charges right now. But this is what's happening. Okay, there's darkness. That's the enemy has power, but the enemy does not have greater power than God. He's been trying to convince you. If you think that's true, then immediately say to the devil, that's a lie. I don't believe that anymore. But it's because of this darkness that there are many people, and some of them are Christians. And I'm going to say even some of them have Jesus in their hearts, but they have turned away from Christ because of the darkness in the world capturing their attention, often through checking out a lot of those liberal news media outlets, which are pushing this darkness, pushing this pain and suffering, pushing the lies and wanting you to be totally crushed by what they're saying, so that you can then be manipulated by the people that love to manipulate. Some are politicians and some are not, but they're being used of the devil to manipulate you into making decisions, voting for people, doing things that are not of God. So keep that in mind. But hope, you see, what did I say about grace? What did I say about peace? What did I say about hope? It's all from God. This is true hope. And God's hope cannot be destroyed. There is no power that can do that. And God is a giver of hope. And his church is and should be a proclaimer of his hope today. And as a child of God, as a Christian believer, as a man that has Jesus in his heart, I have heard this from the Spirit, and I am wanting to be obedient to tell you, the listener, wherever you might be on that scale of spiritual life, either where you totally believe in Jesus and have him in your heart, or you don't want to believe in Jesus and you want to try to bring joy and peace into your life through earthly means, wherever you are on either end of that line of tension, I'm telling you that God is a God of hope. Hope is available today. He wants to give it to you, and it's got to be real. It's got to be that which comes to you in Christ. And when Christ is in your heart, then you have access to the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit always will literally, this is a metaphor, I like to think of it this way, but God is a God of abundance, and he will literally slather your soul with hope when he's done with your soul, it would just be completely covered and dripping with the richness of the hope of God that will bring you the peace that you need today. The peace of God, the hope. We're going to suffer. For those in Christ, we're going to build endurance. We're going to build character out of that endurance. And out of that character is hope. And then the final charge I want to put on all those who do believe today. I really want to, if you're not a believer, you can listen, and I hope you will. But for those that really do have Christ in your hearts, listen to this, because as the church, it is very important. The call of God is upon us to be so profoundly in love with Jesus, to so immensely be immersed in Him and in all the wonderful disciplines given to us to strengthen our faith in the gathering for worship and prayer, the reading of the Word, and the spending time in intimacy with Jesus where we are just there in His presence. We must be doing that because the world today needs a body of Christ that is hopeful and that will speak against the darkness by saying, the hope of God is here. Not the hope of God is coming, but the hope of God is here in Jesus. And I am proclaiming this because I have Him in me, and these are His words. And going wherever there is darkness and being the light of Christ in that hope and casting the darkness away, we have this authority. It was given to us by Jesus. It's His authority, but it is for the church. And I am saying to the church, whoever's listening today, and if you're listening today and you hear this, then go to people that you also know are believers. And if they are not doing this, encourage them to do so, to be voices of hope, the voice of Christ in the world today. And pray for this nation. God wants to heal this land. He is healing this land. Revival is erupting in the land. It's a wonderful eruption. It's a wildfire growing. We need this revival. It is here now, and it is growing. Pray for this, because this is part of God's expression of hope that a nation, a whole nation can be revived and restored unto Him. My brothers and sisters, let us come to God in prayer. Father God, thank You so much for the word of hope. Thank You, Lord, for using us poor, humble creatures saved in Jesus Christ to be bearers of that hope. Lord, it is our prayer that the light of Christ every day casts the darkness of the enemy so far out of our culture, so far out of our nation, that the day will come when it can only be found behind the locked gates of hell. Thank You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Next time, and until next time, may God bless you and keep you. Amen.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and His perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Found him. Gil went looking for my past, but only found love. I heard about gotta see where sin